want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Monday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM. We are so thankful that you have chosen to make us part of your day. Let's march forth today under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. A little bit of date humor there. my daughter came home the other day, and she had a groaner joke. We like groaner jokes. And she said, why did the girl put a picture of herself in a pendant when she turned 18? And we didn't figure it out. And she said, because she wanted everybody to know that she was now independent. And so anyway, we like jokes like that. They're groaners, but hey, you know, if you can't get your day started off on a humorous note, you might get it started off on a complaining note, and we don't want that. So March 4th today, we want to go forth as a people led by the Holy Spirit, marching in military formation, to go back to a lesson that we taught some time ago. So pray that you're getting off to a glorious week, and that God is going to do great and mighty things through you. So today we're going to say thank you to the folks at Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. And they are very skilled. We talked about that on Friday's program, about people who have a great deal of skill. They are very skilled in block and concrete work, and we would encourage you to give them a call if you have any block or concrete work that you need done around your place. They have decades of experience, not just in the company in existence, but I would say you're probably into the hundreds of years of concrete and block experience between them and their crew. They know how to do the job. They know how to do it right. They are constantly out there, so they're familiar with all of the proper techniques to use, and they will do a good job for you at a great value. Give them a call, 321-536-5804, 321-536-5804. A lot of the lessons that we are teaching here go back to when God was leading the children of Israel and through the wilderness. Today's program, we're going to talk about, we're going to begin in Psalm 106 about that exact season and time. But as I was studying this, I realized that there was a form of God's leadership that I was not really all that familiar with. I was familiar with the concept in a different aspect, this was revelation to me. Today, I want to talk to you about God's ability to rebuke. God's ability to rebuke. And so let me just start off with a couple of instances from the scripture that I was familiar with, and that is that there is in Malachi chapter 3, where God teaches on tithing through the prophet Malachi. It says, test me in this, prove me in this, see if I will not pour out a blessing. We know about that part, but it goes on and it says, and rebuke the devourer on your behalf. And I don't know anybody who's not thankful that God rebukes the devourer for our sake. In the New Testament, Jesus, when he came to the disciples after his resurrection, he rebuked them for their lack of faith, their unbelief. And I don't want to ever be in the position to receive that. In the New Testament, it says that the word of God is given for teaching and reproving, exhorting and rebuking. The word of God should not be one of those things that is always affirming us in everything that we do, because I don't know of a perfect person yet. Sometimes that scripture comes forth and it strikes, and it's not an amen, it's an oh me that comes out. Because the word of God is saying you're out of line in this place. And so we need to come back to where God would have us to be. Can I just say something? This is a word to leaders out there in the business field, or parents in their home or whatever. And that is, if you ever are in a situation where you are having to correct your kids or correct your employees, you want to deal with that in as private a manner as you can. You know, I've very rarely do I ever get upset about service in, you know, public. I mean, it can bother me, but it doesn't ever rise to the level of complaining to management. But one thing that I was taught when I was in business leadership was you always wanted to deal with discipline measures, corrective measures, employee matters. You wanted to deal with that where customers weren't around. And I've seen through the years that violated quite a bit, and customers end up being witness to some very bad behavior. And I tell you what it makes me do. It makes me not want to go back to that establishment. And it also causes me to many times step up and say, you know what? This is not right. This isn't right. And so you want to deal with things in as private a manner as you possibly can. Anyway, that's my little business leadership consult for today. Let's go to the Word of God. Psalm 106, verse number 6. We have sinned with our fathers. We have committed iniquity. We have done wickedly. Our fathers in Egypt did not understand your wonders. They did not remember the multitude of your mercies, but rebelled by the sea, the Red Sea. Nevertheless, he saved them for his name's sake, that he might make his mighty power known. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them, and redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. I want you to see from this portion of scripture today that God has the potential of leading us and rebuking the barriers in front of us that are preventing us from getting to the place that God wants us to go. You see, the enemy might think that he has you hemmed in. That was the case with Pharaoh. And in between Pharaoh and the Red Sea were the children of Israel. And so there were the armies of Egypt, the most powerful fighting force on the planet at the time, and the Red Sea, a barrier that they could not get across. And God said, don't worry about Pharaoh. You're not going to have to deal with him after today. And he rebuked the Red Sea. He spoke to it in a manner that it was an irresistible, unappealable, authoritative command from the throne of God. And the Red Sea, when it was rebuked, said, you know what? I think I'm going to go over here and I'm going to stand exactly where God wants me to stand for as long as he wants me to stand here. And you and I, if you are facing an impossible situation today, I want you to know that God still rebukes barriers. He still rebukes the barriers of unbelief. He still makes miraculous pathways through the wilderness and says, you know what? You're going to need to move. He says, you can speak to this mountain and say, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it will obey you. He can rebuke the fruitless fig tree, and it can begin to wither from the roots because it was not fulfilling the plans that God had in store for it. I don't know about you, but I want the blessing of God, not the rebuke of God. And so today, as you may be facing a difficult week ahead, it's not always an easy environment that we live in. And the enemy may be gloating and rejoicing and thinks that he has you hemmed in with no way of escape. But I want to remind you that God is able to make a way of escape for you. And so sometimes that will come with a rebuke. And Psalm 136, verse number 6, adds another aspect to his leading through the depths and through the wilderness. If God is leading you through a place and you thought, what in the world is going on? This doesn't look anything at all like a land flowing of milk and honey. I want you to realize that you can't confuse your current location with your destination. Your current location may just be part of the journey, but it's not the end result. Don't be like Terah, Abraham's father, who set out to go to the land of Canaan, but because of some heartache and some disappointment, made it about halfway on the journey, and he said, I think I'm just going to camp out right here. You can read about it in the book of Genesis. And when Terah decided that he wasn't going any further, God spoke to Abram and said, you know, if you will follow me, I'm going to do things for you that you never dreamed possible before. And so Abram resumed the journey that his father had started but had abandoned. And many people probably wouldn't even know Abram's father's name, but almost everybody has heard of Abraham, because God continued to work in his life miraculously for decades and decades and decades. Don't get stuck where God intends you to simply pass through. And so he rebuked the barriers that stood in Abraham's way, or stood in the children of Israel's way. And I'm going to read Psalm 136 for you here from verse number 1. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endures forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him who by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endures forever. To him who laid out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endures forever. To him who made great lights, for his mercy endures forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endures forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endures forever. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endures forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endures forever. With a strong hand and with an outstretched arm, for his mercy endures forever. To him who divided the Red Sea in two, for his mercy endures forever, and made Israel pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endures forever. But overthrow Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea, for his mercy endures forever to him who led his people through the wilderness. For his mercy endures forever. And it goes on and on and on. And everything that God did for the children of Israel, whether it was for Pharaoh or for whether it was leading them through the wilderness or the desert, through places that others didn't want to travel, he did it because of his mercy, that it endures forever. And in another portion of scripture, there was supposed to be one statement that was made by a leader, and the children of Israel would respond, "For his mercy endures forever." You see, I believe that church should be interactive. I don't believe it's supposed to be a TED talk. I don't think it's just supposed to be a lecture series. I think it is supposed to be something where the pastor, the speaker, the evangelist is all in, and that the people of God, that they are all in, and that God is all in, and that when we come together, there is this divine transformation that takes place because God's mercy endures forever. Why did he rebuke the Red Sea? Because his mercy endures forever. Why did he intervene on behalf of the children of Israel? Because his mercy endures forever. Why did he go to the cross? Because his mercy endures forever. Why did he rise from the dead? Because his mercy endures forever. Why did he ascend to the right hand of the Father? Because his mercy endures forever. Why does he ever live making intercession for you? It's because his mercy endures forever. Why does he never leave you and never forsake you? Because his mercy endures forever. Why does he lead you? It's because his mercy endures forever. You serve a merciful, merciful God. And when you and I are being led by him, we need to understand that he is leading us in the path that is going to demonstrate his great mercy. In Exodus chapter 15, let me turn back there just a moment. Exodus chapter 15. Turning. Exodus chapter 15 and verse number 11 says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation." You see, the wilderness wasn't the destination. God's holy house, his holy dwelling place, his holy habitation, that's where he wanted to lead them, and that's where he wants to lead us. You know, a lot of people that I know choose their church, but I really like it when God leads us to the right church. And so when we pray for our visitors, we don't necessarily pray that all of them end up at Merit Assembly of God. I know that sounds crazy, but it's not crazy. It's scriptural. There was a lady that I've known for a long time. I ran across her path. She goes to First Baptist Church of Merritt Island, and we've had a person in common as friends for decades, and she said, I'll never forget that the first time that Pastor Titus said, "Look, we're not in competition with the other churches around here. We are in cooperation with them." And she said, and then he asked us to start praying for these other churches in our area that God would bless them. And so she would send me a card. And so I ran into her and I said, is this who you are? And she said, yes. And I said, thank you so much for the cards. And, We're not in competition with one another. I bless Pastor Titus Green and the staff and the church at First Baptist of Merritt Island, and East Coast Christian Center and Destiny Church and River of Life Assembly of God and all of the Bible preaching churches on Merritt Island and in central Brevard County and throughout the county. God wants to lead you to a Bible preaching church. Not everybody is going to thrive at Merritt Assembly of God. Not everybody would thrive in a mega church. So God leads us to that place where we can encounter his holy presence. So that's made very clear there in Exodus chapter 15. It's in verse number 13 there. But you also need to realize that God wants to guide you in his strength, not your strength. We need to realize that God has supernatural abilities beyond us. He is the Almighty God. He is the omnipotent, all-powerful God. And his desires are accomplished when we operate in his supernatural strength. A lot of people are guiding their lives by their own giftedness, the things that God had planted inside of them. They are being guided by their needs. What will this church do in this situation? I knew of a person one time, they picked the church they were going to go to because they thought that that would be the best place to find a spouse. And don't get me wrong. I believe the best place to find a spouse is in church, but I believe it is also in the only place you're going to find what you're looking for is if you let God guide you in his strength, not your need. I know I've gone to Medellin right here at the first part of the week, and I don't apologize. Amos chapter 2, one of the minor prophets. And so take me just a moment to turn over there. Amos chapter 2, verse number 9 says, "Yet it was I who destroyed the Amorite before them, whose height was like the height of the cedars, and he was as strong as the oaks. Yet I destroyed his fruit above and his roots beneath. Also it was I who brought you up from the land of Egypt and led you 40 years through the wilderness to possess the land of the Amorite." Okay? God wants to lead you and lead me and guide me in his strength to his holy habitation so that we take possession of the things that God has prepared for us. There can be a lot of things that we have, but God wanted us to go in and possess them, to own them, to make the most out of every opportunity. Okay? And so it is true that Merritt Assembly of God is God's church, but it's also my church, that it's an opportunity that God has set before us to minister on a regular basis. We need to make the most of that opportunity. Don't be like the foolish servant who was entrusted with something but didn't take ownership of it and said, you know what, I'm just going to make sure that I return to the master the very thing that he's entrusted to me. When I taught Assemblies of God Church history, one of the things that struck me was that they felt responsible to be faithful to the call that God had for them, and they were going to make the most out of that opportunity. And so they showed tremendous entrepreneurship, and they would go wherever they would go, and they would say, you know what, God, you are going to do miraculous things here. I don't know what you have in your spirit that God has planted there, but understand this. If he's planted the desire, if he's planted the goal, he will guide you in his strength to that place where each of us can possess the very things that God has in store for us. One last thing here. I've got to go back to Exodus here, and I didn't save the spot, so I got to turn all the way back there again. Exodus chapter 13. This is the last thing that I'm going to share with you here on today's program. In verse number 17, it says, "Then it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest perhaps the people change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up in orderly ranks out of the land of Egypt." One of the things that you will notice about God's leadership is he leads us in such a way that he purges any desire to return to the old way of life. He purges that from our hearts. If you've been a believer for any length of time, I hope you realize that you have come too far to go back now. If God has led you and broken the power of an addiction in your life, I pray that he has uprooted that thing from your life so that you do not have any desire or any longing to go back again. God specifically chose the path that he was going to lead the children of Israel. He deliberately and intentionally positioned them at the Red Sea so that they would see that his victory over the Egyptian army and over Pharaoh and all of those forces that wanted to enslave them and put them in bondage again, he wanted them to see, "I've broken the power of that thing in your life." God, when he guides us in strength, he wants to make sure that our heart has no desire for the ungodly things this world has to offer. If I were to ask you right now to check the condition of your heart, your spirit, your life, would you find anything in there that's a little envious or a little covetous of the things that the world has to offer? You see, you see so many things on television, but I want you to know it's all fake. It's not real. You know what's real? The kingdom of God is real. The blessings of God, those are real. Don't chase fantasies. The children of Israel all the time talked about the garlics and the leeks and the onions, but they forgot about the whips and the snares and the taskmaster's whip. Let God lead you to a wholehearted commitment to him. See you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."